The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Sparkling water, lemon, osmosis, carbonated, filtered, distilled.
You are listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Super psyched to be here. Have a great show today.
In the abundance of water.
Democracy, water, and forever chemicals. Super psyched.
Thirsty.
Great, great interview coming up with Bob Jones, who's been leading a fight for the last 6 years from the perch of Lee, Massachusetts. And we're going to be discussing a little bit more about that later in the show, so stay tuned. I'm going to kind of get to the roots of the whole Massachusetts vibe. We're bringing water vibes all around the world, from the Berkshires to your little part of the big blue planet that we all live on. And super psyched to be here with you. Let's see if we got some music coming your way. A little bit of comedy coming up. A little bit of, not so much poetry today, but poetry from a really cool film. Let's see what we got going on here. Let's see if we got some music. Yeah, let's go. Let's go, 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 go. Hold on 1 second. This, my friend, is what we're doing. We're actually looking at what's it going to take to get my playlist moving here. So let's go take a peek here. Hold on 1 second. You can listen to the ocean in the background while we get this thing done. Gotta love Spotify. It's loading. It's loading. Gotta love it. Here we go. Oh, we reloaded and we're gonna get some stuff done here. Okay, we're gonna start off with a really cool song by Mad Season. It's called River of Deceit. And you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Is it working? Who knows? It's not. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. This is how you know that it's a live show. So we're gonna shut this down. We're gonna log back out and log back in. We're gonna do that right now here. Gotta love ya. Okay, I think we got it going here. If you're looking for the playlist, you could go to And So It Flows playlist. It's on Spotify. And let's get this thing going so we can have our music coming. We're going to actually start with a different song, see if this whole thing is working. And it's called Tide Is High by Blondie. You're listening to And So It Flows.
Thank you. Song that I can sing is Boiling Cabbage Town. Boiling Cabbage Town, down, turn them old peaks brown. The only song that I can sing is Boiling Cabbage Town. Jack took Jill way up the hill where he thought no one could reach her. But Jack came down with a broken crown. Jill was a judo teacher. Boiling Cabbage Town, down, turn them old peaks brown. The only song that I can sing is Boiling Cabbage Town. Hickory dickory dock, the mice run up the...
Looks like we had a breakdown there. We gotta love your live shows. Gotta love your live shows. Let's see if this is gonna work here. We want it to work. Let's see if this works. Come on. Getting back to Boil Them Cabbages Down. And let's see if it actually is gonna work. But right now, let's just listen to the ocean sounds. Because I think that's really what makes people happy, regardless the sounds of water. Come on, let's go. Having a breakdown with music, so we're gonna get into a little bit of other items that I wanted to cover in this show, and really psyched to have along with us Bob Jones. So Bob, why don't you say hello to your water-loving fans around the world, and so we can perhaps have music come back later, but the music of words is always good.
Well, good afternoon, Leslie. Thank you very much for having me back. And
yeah, you've been in this fight for quite some time. You've been involved in this, what I would consider, you know, one of the most important national and international issues happening here on a local level.
Yeah, we when GE made the announcement, GE and the EPA made the announcement about the Rest of the River Agreement, that was in 2000, January of 2000. And that got my attention because the terms of that agreement, and I've been with friends and neighbors and town government, we have been diligently pushing back for all this time. Mm-hmm. And we have been making headway slowly but surely, and we are now almost at a turning point where we might actually see some real action.
Yeah, I mean, it's waiting for the court system in the United States in a time of, I would concede that we're in a time of serious unworkability in this country. Lots of things are being brought up and not being dealt with.
That you just summed it up in a couple sentences there. Going back to when negotiations were going on, and I use that term very loosely, I was told when this agreement was done that the federal government, I should say, our state representatives, our federal representatives, that includes Elizabeth Warren and Ed Markey and Richard Neal. Those are federal representatives, and our state representatives, Paul Mark and, well, at the time, Smitty Pignatelli. We were left on our own. The towns in the river corridor, Sheffield, Great Barrington, Stockbridge, Lennox, and Lee, left on our own pretty much to deal with GE and the EPA because of a court ruling back in 2016 that was appealed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we were left on our own, and the state and federal, other than the EPA, decided to step back because the EPA told everybody, we've got this, and we realized very quickly that the EPA really didn't have it. We were told repeatedly the EPA was not there to make it a better agreement. They weren't there to fix anything. They were simply there to facilitate the agreement. And that is not what we were looking for, because the people of those five towns, and of Pittsfield for that matter, had really no say in it whatsoever. And
yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. Let's go down, since we're calling this episode Water Democracy, or Democracy, Water, and Forever Chemicals. In the world of the EPA, this institution was set up to protect.
Yes.
In its initial form in the 1970s. I think it was under Nixon that it came into
being. Yeah, and the Clean Water Act came back, and it came into play under Nixon in the 60s.
Yeah.
So this is, I think, that corporate America, the handwriting was on the wall, and this water thing was not going to go away.
Yeah, and, when you're looking at trust, the trust of the populace of the United States on the institutions of government, institutions of society, is currently, you're looking at the media, lack of trust in politicians, lack of trust in institutions like the judiciary, and the agencies mm-hmm. here to protect us. I won't even get involved in the DEC and the NIH. You know, that's a whole other game. But we're looking at historic lows in institutions of government, institutions that are agencies of that government. And it's a hard place to come from to correct, unless there's some kind of unity amongst the people. And you can speak to that, because when you got into office, you were elected into office with something like, what, 70%?
A little better than 70% of the vote.
70%. Okay. And that includes people of all the different parties, independents, people who probably haven't voted before, but they saw that having a rest of river agreement that specifically hung Lee out to dry in an area that it prides itself on community and social cohesion, that was really antithetical, and it really caused an uprising, a democracy uprising.
It did, and I'll leave it to the listeners to evaluate or form an opinion on what actually happened. The agreement between the five towns, Pittsfield, the EPA, GE, was crafted. Each of the towns, the five towns, were able to send one representative to these meetings to supposedly hammer out an agreement. When they got there, they were told this was going to happen, whether they wanted to or not.
Mm-hmm.
They offered money, they meaning GE, offered money, $25 million to Lee, $25 million to Lenox, and then $1.5 million to Great Barrington, Stockbridge, and Sheffield. And they were told, this is going to happen anyway. The only if you push back on this, you just won't get any money. And so the single representative from each town went back to their boards and said, we got to sign off on this, otherwise we're not going to get any money, and they're going to do it anyway. This is all done behind closed doors, by the way. And at the time in Lee, we had a town representative form of government, meaning we had a number of districts with two or three or four representatives based upon the population. But the representatives told our rest of river representative, don't sign anything until you come back here and talk to us. Well, according to the terms of the agreement, the representative, the select board member who was there, couldn't come back to the town and talk to the people.
Because he, if he did,
If they did, it would make it null and void. And that $25 million was in jeopardy.
Wow.
Either you shut up, you put up, and you shut up, and you'll get the $25 million. If you push back, you will. The dump is going to happen anyway. The capping will happen anyway.
So they
you'll
put
get
the
no money
fear in. Of losing money
oh,
in,
yes, that
in
was,
the space.
That was absolutely on the table. And when you can't go to the people who put you in office to get feedback, how the hell are you supposed to know what the best course of action is? So I don't really blame those representatives from each town. They as you say, they had the fear of God put in them, and then they went back to, in some cases, those representatives didn't even go back to the select boards. They just said to the select board, you got to sign off on this. So it was the select boards, 19 people in five towns signed off on this agreement.
That impacts tens of thousands. Would you
in
say over 100,000 or within?
I'm not sure the exact figure, but it certainly is in the tens of thousands. And those people, those tens of thousands of people, had no idea this was going on. Now, how is that democracy?
What happened to the 19 folks who voted for, like, okay, let's take the money and run?
Well, some of them are still in office, and some clearly are not in office. I would say when I got elected in 2021. My opponent in that contest signed off on this agreement, and I didn't get elected. I truly believe I did not get elected from my good looks and charm and experience. I got elected because the other guy ignored the will of the people who put him in office. I thought
you got elected because you part your hair just perfectly down the middle.
Well, that could be it. That might have some impact, but no. So I got in because it was really a one-issue election, and I have certainly learned a great deal in the past 5 years, and we certainly deal with more than just Rest the River, but Rest the River was the driving thing that got me into office, and the next guy, and the guy before me. So,
And the folks who voted for the Rest of River originally, they were all swept out of office.
Two were swept out of office. The third decided not to run for personal reasons.
Whatever that looks like, and you know, it's super important, and this is why this conversation regarding democracy, scariest thing. For some folks, is a unified front. And water and the environment unifies many different things. If you don't have access to good water, families aren't going to want to move in. So you have families who are rightfully concerned. And then you also have economics, which might take a downturn. So it lives within the environmental system.
Absolutely.
And then you have, an economic loss, appraisals that go down in value if there is some environmental hazard in the area. And then you also lose community cohesion where people stand for each other. And I think that's super important. Especially in a place like the Berkshires, even though this goes around the world, this show, the Berkshires has some of that cultural, you know, one of its best parts of its culture is the way communities hold together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's been said that the New England town meeting is the purest form of democracy on earth today. And we certainly get a lot of business done at town meeting, and people are there, they stand up, they make their views known, and they can be quite demanding in their wants and needs, and they are certainly I'll tell you, for Lee voters know what's going on. They know their business, they know the questions to ask, and they let us know their opinions.
Yeah, let's jump into something else. We're going to have this be one of the few shows, if ever, without a lot of music because there's a breakdown with our friends over at Spotify. So we're not going to be doing some of that because it's just not loading well. But I do want to play this really great clip. This clip I found from the movie Erin Brockovich, Julia Roberts. Just to give a little bit of a background, this is where she's sitting down with some of the polluters from, I believe it's Pacific PG&E, I think it's gas and electric, about something in the area of restitution. What should, you know, how does a company make good? And this is a really good scene, so we're going to be listening to that and come right back right after it. Be just about a minute. Hold on one second.
Or what you might expect someone to pay you for your uterus, Miss Sand.
Here we go.
I want you to think real hard about what your spine is worth, Mr. Walker. Or what you might expect someone to pay you for your uterus, Miss Sanchez. Then you take out your calculator and you multiply that number by 100. Anything less than that is a waste of our time. By the way, we had that water brought in special for you folks. Came from well in Hinckley. I think this meeting's over.
Yeah, a little bit about that area of $25 million. Okay, let's say for the two of the towns, and some of the towns got $1.5 million.
That's correct.
And I'm sure you have friends who were impacted through health issues, maybe some others economically, but what's the population of Lee?
About 5,600 people.
5,600. So you take $25 million. If you get hit with some levels of cancer or other ailments that come through this, the quality of life goes down. And then what about the costs? I mean, have you ever talked to people about the cost of their medical care and what that really is
like? Well, we know that the cancer rates in Berkshire County are higher than the rest of the state. We do know that. The problem is whether, first of all, local boards of health are very limited in what they can do about that.
Yeah.
The information is there. So we depend upon the state. We depend upon federal. We depend upon testing, like epidemiological testing. None of that has been done to an extent to get a really true idea of whether the cancer rate is being impacted by PCBs or not. We don't really know because nobody has really done the work to come up with that. And believe me, it's in the millions of dollars to do this kind of test. But we did find out recently through the work of my friend Bill Shine that they have been tested doing blood testing for years. They denied ever having done it. So that's an indication to me that...
You mean the testing has been done?
Yes,
say which institution was doing the testing?
I think GE was doing testing.
Well, they knew.
There was at least an indication that, hey, maybe there's a problem here. So, but nobody ever came out and said, hey, PCBs are actually causing the cancer rate in Berkshire County to go up. There is nothing like that. And in fact, part of the problem in this country is the rest of the world says that PCBs are cancer-causing agents. In this country, we say they are probable cancer-causing agents. And that there's a big difference.
Oh, sure,
That's a huge difference.
When you're declaring something versus maybe kinda.
Maybe kinda, exactly. And the rest of the world knows what PCBs are and have made great strides in cleaning them up, and there are no remediation treatments right now that could apply specifically to the Housatonic River. But there are breakthroughs every day. PCBs are one or two chemical numbers off from Agent Orange that we all remember from Vietnam, the defoliant. And the Da Nang Airport was saturated with this stuff. The Da Nang Airport, these days, you can sit down and have a picnic there with your family because they have completely cleaned that up. Okay, so the Da Nang Airport is not the Housatonic River, but that's the direction we have to push
well,
in.
Well, if that's where you look for economies of scale, you look for breakthroughs where the places where they're doing it.
Yes.
Here it seems like General Electric. Let's go to this company which is now almost defunct, Kodak.
Yeah.
Kitchen table, everybody knew Kodak. Everybody had a Kodak camera. Everybody had Kodak film.
Yeah.
They actually invented the digital camera. And they said, nah.
Yeah.
Not going to do anything with this stuff because... And look at where Kodak is now.
Yeah.
Look at the city of Rochester, completely emptied out from all those good Kodak jobs. So with General Electric, Monsanto, now Bayer, you're looking at their how are they meeting this digital camera moment? Do they see cleanup as an opportunity for their shareholders, for themselves, for the possibility of showing that there's the other side of this?
Well, that's a great point, Leslie. And the thing is, GE, Monsanto, Bayer these days, they could be heroes, not only in Berkshire County, but across...
And filthy rich.
And rich at the same time.
Yeah, filthy rich because they're cleaning up the filth. Yeah. But at the same time, it's such an opportunity to... I was having a conversation, and for those who are just listening now, just tuning in, you're listening to And So It Flows, the only show for H2O here, WTBR. FM, having an extended conversation with Bob Jones, one of the people who are fighting through democracy and the courts and the court of public opinion about what are we going to do with all these forever chemicals, because it may not impact you personally if you're listening from out of the area or even you personally in your neighborhood. However, it's an opportunity here to kind of see, because PCBs, PFAS, Monsanto is getting all sorts of group judgments in this whole Northeast region. Within 100 miles of here, there are multiple places that have had breakdowns with PFAS, PCBs, and other forever chemicals. And it's a huge, huge opportunity. Now, I was sitting down at a place called Porta Villa. It's in a little town of Dalton, just up the hill here from Pittsfield. And a gentleman there was upper-level manager at General Dynamics and said, you know, we'd like different kinds of jobs. And I'm thinking to myself, there's this new poster I would like to see when people are protesting. Is like, we have the science. We know how to do this. We have to free the scientists. We have to free the engineers. Free them. Free them from working on things that are simply about destruction and death, and move towards that which brings life. And there is that science. It could be as simple as drinking lemon water in the morning, but that won't cure the PCBs. However, if we had engaged an opportunity here about creating businesses of the future, that could be worked on now.
Well, that's the mindset that's yet to be developed. And we have a ways to go on that. But you're absolutely right. Wouldn't it be something if the corporate boards at these various companies looked at each other and said, let's get together with government, let's get together with health experts, and figure out a way to go at this. It wasn't us who are sitting at the board table today that was dumping these poisons along the roadways and along into rivers, and that it wasn't the boards that sit today that did that. However, because they're in those chairs, they have a responsibility to deal with the actions of those that went before them. Now, what I'm saying is, I think that boards of health and local governments and state and federal government would be delighted to sit down and say, let's find a way that's going to be effective and economically viable, that will be beneficial to your shareholders. Let's find a way that's actually going to be effective. Those are the conversations we should be having.
And having incubator companies.
Absolutely.
With incubators where scientists and engineers can
absolutely
figure it out.
This can be done. This absolutely
it's
can be done.
It's being done in other places.
It's being done in other places. But we need that conversation. We need to plant the seed for that conversation in this country.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. It looks like Spotify is back. We're going to go on a little bit of a break. And since we were talking about Dalton, I'm going to play this song by Scotty McCreery, Water Tower Town. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Let's get this. Let's have it work. Come on, work. We want it to work. Come on. Come on, it's still not working. Yay, so much for tech. Okay, you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Got a little bit of comedy here. Let's see what we got here. Let's see, this is Michael McIntyre, a little bit of a comedy clip that I was able to find today. A little bit about bottled water.
Middle class people love bottled water, don't they?
Oh, they do.
The people prefer different ones. I like Bath, I like Fiji, I like Buxton. I'm a Highland Spring guy. It's the same water. And they get very offended. You must have seen this in restaurants when the waiter comes over. Can we get you a drink? Can I get you a drink? Oh, yes, can we just have water, please? Just still water. We're fine with just still water. Sometimes the waiter goes, tap. It's a horrible moment. It's like he's just said, puddle. I can scoop some from the pavement. It rained earlier.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Looks like we're having a little bit of a breakdown with our friends at Spotify, so don't you worry right now. We're going to go right back into it with Bob Jones, select board member from the town of Lee. And also, the town of Lee, you guys have a PCB advisory council.
PCB advisory committee, yes.
Committee. What exactly is that? And how, let's say if they're listening from another area, how can local governments put together this committee? Is it simply, like, how?
Well, we wanted to, listen, we're a small town, as I say, about 5,600 people. We're a small town, but we have a lot of very talented and educated people in the town. And we're not scientists. Not all of us are scientists or doctors or health experts or professional politicians, for that matter. You know, we're neighbors. We're friends and neighbors trying to make our way and trying to live our lives. So we put together this PCB advisory committee. We have some people who were there, experts on water and conservation. We have a medical doctor on the team. We have a geologist on the team. We have people from varying backgrounds, professionals. We have people who are PR people on the team. And basically, we were just looking to put together a group of people to have a conversation to properly understand and what's the word I'm looking for? To understand and to interpret what's being told to us by the EPA and GE in terms of the rest of the river agreement. And we also have, you know, we have the professionals. We have Christopher Boniface, who is our attorney. We've hired in the past a PR firm to get the word out. So we're really just a small town. You know, my friend Neil Clark, who is a retired teacher in Lee, has always called this a David versus Goliath affair. And he's right. I mean, that's a great term. I like to look at it as the town of Lee as the mouse that roared. And I think we are. We're a small town. We're on our own.
The mighty mouse that roared.
Well, thank you. But the other towns, Sheffield, Great Barrington, Stockbridge, and Lenox, when the rest of the river agreement was signed, they chose not to pick up the gauntlet. We had hoped to work with them because there were so many open-ended questions about the rest of the river agreement. But I won't say the people of those towns, but the select boards of those towns declined the offer to work with us to address the open-ended questions, the unresolved issues. So we've been on our own.
Let's take a look and do a little bit of opposition research here. We're opposing, in your lawsuit, you're opposing what companies?
Well, we are litigating with Bayer, which was Monsanto, and GE.
Okay, so let's look at first Monsanto. General Electric, everybody kind of knows, big mm-hmm. job supplier for one period of time, 60, 70 years in the area of Berkshire County. Let's look at Monsanto. I did a quick Google search. The question was, Monsanto manufactures what poisons? Okay. What poisons?
Well,
so this lets us know who we're working with in the kind of stuff that they make.
Well, that's the big one, of course. They no longer manufacture PCBs, which are now illegal, though they will be with us, as we say, forever.
Yeah. But, right now they're doing glyphosate, which is the Roundup.
Right, Roundup, exactly.
Linked to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, classified as a probable human carcinogen, which, of course, they're not in all their losing lawsuits that they're losing. They make people sign an agreement of they're not being responsible, but, you know, they wouldn't be given all that money. Now, another thing that they made was Agent Orange, and used during the Vietnam War. And you said earlier that Vietnam learned how to clean up those dioxins.
They did. They learned how to neutralize those poisons, the PCBs. And okay. At the Da Nang Airport, I'm using that as case in point.
But, yeah. That's great. That's great. I'll look up more into that. That sounds really interesting that they learned how to clean it up. There was another one here, DDT, an insecticide formerly produced by Monsanto before it was banned for environmental toxicity. Now, there was a woman who wrote a book, wasn't she speaking to, I forgot, in the early 60s?
Rachel Carson.
Was she speaking regarding DDT?
Yeah.
So this is that company. Okay, that's Monsanto. They make things that are like, why would you make it? I don't know. I don't understand.
They
make it.
They make it. It works. And everybody's pleased that, you know, you spray it around your driveway and you don't have any weeds coming up. But there's more happening there than no weeds.
Exactly. It kills the bio.
Everything.
It kills all the biome of the ground.
Absolutely. And they are so intent upon this. They have actually developed strains of this stuff that they produced a Roundup resistant wheat that's grown, you know, for the bread that we eat. And so they can spray Roundup but not affect the wheat that they've developed.
And then we got this company Bayer, and I'm not talking about aspirin here. I am talking about some of the other things that they've made Currently, they're connected to owning Monsanto, so Roundup is in their purview. They also created, this one might surprise people who might have grandfathers and grandmothers from Central, Eastern, and other parts of Europe that during World War II, they made that thing called Zyklon B, which was a cyanide-based gas. A really strong pesticide, a really strong herb, like as strong as you could get. And that's their, wow.
Well, it was the agent that was used in the gas chambers during the Holocaust.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's serious stuff. So this is the kind of companies that we're up against. And for the life-loving people of not just Berkshire County, but all around the world, you know, you're looking at a pretty dark manufacturing base.
And we're looking... I'm 73 years old. I don't think I'm going to be able to ever fish or swim in the Housatonic River. But I hope perhaps that my grandchildren or their grandchildren might be able to do that. But under the current course, given the history of these companies, that's not going to happen. However, we are looking to change the conversation. That's what we're really talking about. And again, we want it to be economically viable for the shareholders of these companies, but we can't be having the conversation that's not happening right now. You know, that they refuse to sit down and talk and say, is there a better way? We know there are better ways, and we can put them on the table. And this isn't a thing that's going to be decided overnight, or maybe not in a year's time, but if you can get everybody committed to finding a better way, and we're very, very close now, we're on the cusp with a lot of these treatments.
I mean, a lot of money is being spent in China right now for
absolutely
cleanup.
They've had
breakthroughs in India for cleaning up industrial toxins.
Right.
So if our interest was actually to solve the problem...
There it is.
Then we would do the thing to solve the problem. And I think the part that's missing is the people on the board of these companies and the lawyers forgot that some of them are soccer moms and dads, and they had to wake up early and go jogging, or they had to go drive someone in the middle of the night to get to a basketball game. Sometimes there's work to do to solve the problem. And the problem solving and the creativity around cleanup seems to be the missing portion. Like, it's like hiring a cleaner and they say, I don't do windows. Well, you know, then you shouldn't advertise them.
Yeah. Well, and again, you're spot on in that if the focus was on solving the problem, as opposed to diminishing responsibility, we'd all be in a much better place.
Yeah, totally, totally. Because after a while, the denial is not simply a river in India. I mean, in Egypt. But here, the bottom line is denial kind of thwarts the creativity of people, the ability to really launch, relaunch, renew economics.
Well, it's true. And
health.
They started dumping, GE started dumping this stuff in the late 30s, and they didn't stop until the mid 70s. And when I was a kid, I was born in 1953. People's septic, their sewers would run into the river at that time. Factories, woolen factories and paper factories were dumping into the river at that time. Okay, so human waste, animal waste, waste from paper companies and woolen. The river can heal itself from that stuff. You stop doing it, first of all. You stop doing it, and there's not much you have to do for the river to clean itself. Yeah. Nature is a very, very powerful force, right? But PCBs and PFAS, these are man-made chemicals. They do not exist in nature, and nature can't deal with them. That's the problem. And there was a presumption on the part of these corporations that, oh, you throw it in the river, it'll go down to the Sound and then out to the ocean, and it'll clean itself. And that's true of all those things that we just mentioned. But for forever chemicals, that is not the case, and they will be with us forever unless we find an effective way of dealing with them.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the things that I, you know, you, in your court case, you have some receipts. You bring with you receipts, which is, it's actually quite powerful. You're not just making a claim, you have receipts. And one of the things, there was a recent event called Deep Dive, where Robert Heinzman spoke to it. But there, do you have some kind of receipt to the, what I call the word cahoots, when two people work together?
Well, Monsanto at the time, now Bayer, they were the manufacturers of PCBs, which were produced as a lubricant for transformers that GE produced. And as an aside, very quickly, they're very, very cheap to produce. What does the same thing, what does the same job as PCBs, but it's more expensive, is mineral oil. And of course, mineral oil, you can drink that stuff, and it's not going to bother you, right?
Yeah, like, okay.
But it's more expensive. But anyway, Monsanto, now Bayer, produced this stuff. GE used it for their transformers. And yes, they had government contracts, and they try to blame the government because, oh, well, we had to do it because the government asked us to do it. The government, I haven't found a single document that says the government said, oh, and by the way, anything you have left, dump in the Housatonic River, or dump and put it, mix it with soil and spread it in the neighborhoods in Berkshire County, particularly in Pittsfield. There's none of that. So they knew when they found out that this stuff actually caused harm. Monsanto said, look, it looks like we're going to probably try to stop producing this stuff because they're going to shut us down eventually. And GE said, keep producing it for us. And if you run into any legal problems, we'll cover your costs. Now, we have documentation of that.
Documentation. So you actually have receipts that
We have communication, the in-company communications that say exactly that.
Wow.
So they knew. They knew that it was causing harm to the people in the river corridor. And our lawsuit, it's specifically the people of Lee, because we're on our own here. But they knew that it was causing damage, yet they continued to use it.
And we're talking about Berkshire County is in Massachusetts. Massachusetts is the home to the American Revolution. It is. Started the whole thing. It started the 1770 with the Boston Massacre, and then moving on.
Absolutely.
Beyond 1776 and 1781, I think, is when there were the Articles of Confederation.
Mm-hmm.
But you're talking about the next revolution is going to be around water. Is actually about freeing the water so life can exist on a planet.
Well, again, I'm 73. If I was 8 years old and somebody said to me, where can I buy a bottle of water? I would have run home to my mother crying because I just met a crazy person.
Exactly.
And I was scared. The idea of buying a bottle of water back in the late 50s is absurd. Because but that's part of the problem. We in our kitchen or our bathroom, we walk over to the faucet, we turn it on, and there's water.
And it's a loss of trust. Part of it is a loss of trust in can we keep our water clean? In other parts of the world is used for healing major medical conditions and keeping people healthy. And in America, we've been a large ongoing campaign. Some through silliness and some through actual campaigning to lose trust in water. And that's what We're out to cause a new look at that here in Berkshire County and have it reverberate around the world. You're listening to And So It Flows. Thanks again, Robert, for joining. Thanks, Bob, for being here.
Thank you for having me, Leslie. Greatly appreciate it.
It's amazing to have you. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. And join next week. Got more stuff coming your way. And next week, we'll figure out what happened with the music. Not really sure, but it's all good because it's all good. Again, And So It Flows, your only show for H2O.
Lemon fizzy water, sparkling water, lemon, osmosis, carbonated, filtered, distilled. See? In trouble. In the abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.